Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts, and I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them. From them I will send fugitives to the nations. To Tarshish, Put and Lud, Mosok, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands that have never heard of my fame or seen my glory. And they shall proclaim my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots, in carts, upon mules and dromedaries. To Jerusalem, my holy mountain, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their offering to the house of the Lord in clean vessels. Some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The responsorial psalm. Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
For steadfast is his kindness toward us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight your paths for your feet. And what is lame may not be disjointed, but healed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few people be saved? He answered them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. He will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from. And you will say, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. Then he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time, and I'd like to welcome my children, Colleen and Eamon, for being here. Thank you for providing your young adult perspectives on our Gospels and our lives today. And we have several feast days this coming week, but Eamon has picked out one in particular.
Yes, and that is the Feast of St. Augustine of Hippo. That's on August 28th. Now, as some may know, he was the son of Saint Monica, who was also a very famous saint, and also of a pagan father. So Saint Augustine didn't necessarily grow up as a Christian. He wasn't baptized until much later in his life. And he kind of drank a couple too many Coca-Colas and kind of did some dumb stuff in his early life. And one of those dumb things was he actually joined a cult called the Manichaeism, which was a dualist cult about how all flesh is bad and all spirit is good. So they actually discouraged marriage. but later, he finally converted in 387 AD, baptized by St. Ambrose, actually. So that was another connection he had. A little bit later, he wrote his Confessions, the first autobiography book ever, I believe. And also other stuff, such as On Christian Doctrine. He died, but everybody loved him, right? So he was canonized by popular acclaim and later recognized as a doctor of the church in 1298 by Pope Boniface VIII. And he's also my confirmation saint, so that's another fun trivia.
And yeah, certainly St. Augustine gives me a lot of hope for, you know, how he turned his life around from sin into a life for Christ. I think that's such a model for all of us. So thank you for sharing that. Well, in our first reading today with the prophet Isaiah, I see such a theme of universality, really not the first reading, but even through all of the readings today. And I really wanted to point out a couple key messages here. The first one is that people will come to the Lord from all nations. Eamon, you did a great job with those words, Tarshish and Put and Lud and all those other hard to pronounce names.
They're not fun.
No, they're not. And those are areas of today's what you would know of Spain or Africa, Asia, Black Sea, and Greece. So we know that people will come to the Lord from all nations. People will come then to the Lord in diverse ways. They came in horses and chariots. I mean, of course, that's a physical manifestation, but think about how many people you know and how each of their paths have been unique. It's a beautiful way to think about each path towards Christ is such a unique trail that they pave. The third message is, even though they're going to come to the Lord in diverse ways, they will all come to the same place. They're going to come to Jerusalem, my holy mountain. They're going to come to Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church. And this is fulfilled in the Catholic Mass, where we see heaven touching earth. Finally, we know that God will include the Gentiles as priests and members of his church. Again, thinking about the universality. And Colleen, you've had a few reflections on that universality theme, don't you?
Mm-hmm. But first, what really struck me is the word fugitives, that he will send fugitives to the nations. And in my mind, fugitives aren't really the ones that you want to send anywhere. They're usually fleeing from something. So I looked in other translations and noticed that it's often translated as survivors, which really paints an interesting picture if you combine survivors and fugitives. But yes, the universality of the church, it was very interesting that these fugitives and survivors are the ones that will bring all the brothers and sisters from all the nations. And it's from those that Jesus will take priests and Levites. Not just from Jerusalem, not just from Jews, but from all the brothers and sisters from all the nations, the universal church.
How beautiful that message is. Well, our second reading today, it's actually a follow-on, again, from the letter of the Hebrews. It's a follow-on from last week when the Hebrews author was talking about persevering in running the race. And this week, we're going to talk about discipline.
Yeah, yes. Do not disdain the discipline of the Lord. So to maybe quote my own father, sometimes he gives me things called character development exercises.
You're welcome.
And sometimes that means too. Eamon, I want you to go mow the lawn. Well, I don't feel like a dad. Well, tough luck.
No, that's character building right
that's
there.
Character building. Yes. Or, hey, Eamon, we're going to thatch and aerate in the bitter rain outside, which at the time I was somewhat bitter about that. But for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. It kind of does build your character. But those character building exercises, that discipline, is going to look different for different people. We can go back in scripture for Job, you know, all his children died. Then he got a bunch of, you know, sores. And that he needed that. You might have, you dad might need something different than I do.
Hopefully not any sores.
Hopefully not any sores. Let's hope that. He scourges every son he acknowledges because God treats you as sons. He sees you and that's why he loves you. Sometimes that love can hurt though.
That's true.
Yes, just like a kid who eats too much sweets, the parents have a responsibility to discipline them so they can succeed later on in life. My response that comes to mind is that when the Lord gives you discipline, because he will, you must trust that the Lord will be working good through your sufferings. He is the author of only good. That's all he can write. So trust that he is working good in your sufferings.
And all of us in our lives will be given an opportunity to grow in discipline. I understand it's not fun. It's often painful, but it is needed for our development and our growth. And we're all going to suffer one of two types of pain. The pain of discipline, which results in peace and righteousness, or the pain of disappointment and regret, which is the result of never embracing what's needed to make us truly happy. So the way I look at it is discipline becomes the bridge between your goals and accomplishment. We need to embrace the discipline, both physical and spiritual. And I will quote, talking to the dad specifically right now, you have an incredibly important job to lovingly discipline your children in the Lord. Now, need some help or advice? Talk to your own dad or talk to a dad you specifically admire. There's always great resources. There's dads.org. There's the National Fatherhood Initiative. And I actually want to spend just a minute talking about some facts that they provide. And this is at fatherhood.org. And this is from a few years ago. But there is a father factor in our nation's worst social problems today. We see that father absent homes are almost four times likely to be poor. Children born to single mothers show higher levels of aggressive behavior. There's a study of juvenile offenders that indicated that their family structure or lack thereof significantly predicted delinquency. Being raised by a single mother raises the risk of teen pregnancy. An absence of a biological father contributes to increased risk of child mistreatment. So how important it is for us fathers to listen to the Lord and then to train our children to learn how to listen to the Lord as they grow up. That's how important it is to have a father in your child's life. And that is something that we really want to focus on today is fathers embrace the discipline to be a better husband and a better father. Well, moving on to our gospel today.
I really want to stress the directionality of the text a little bit later on in the gospel. And people will come from the east and west and from the north and south. Directions matter. Numbers matter. So this all not only is pointing to the universality of salvation of the church, but also brings to mind, I'm not sure if anyone's gone to the Trinitine Rite, but there's this huge prayer book. And in between the first reading and the gospel, the servers actually move the gospel from the I believe the south side of the altar onto the north side. And that's meant to show how the gospel actually spread. It started in Jerusalem and then spread off to the northern colder regions, which lacked the gospel. It shows that salvation is so much more than just for the Jews. It's for Jews and Gentiles. It's for everyone. Universal.
What really struck out for me in the gospel is the reply, I do not know where you are coming from. Now, the Lord doesn't say, I don't know who you are. He knows exactly who is knocking at the door, but he does not know whether or not he has entered from the wide or the narrow gate. So the question is to us, have you entered through the wide gate? Are you here to destroy? Or have you entered through the narrow gate? There are multiple reasons why we would enter through the narrow gate. Is it from obedience, fear, love? All those are good reasons, but the ultimate reason that we should be going into the narrow gate is out of love for God.
Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATEREI radio.com.